Standing with Johnny Amos here, and Johnny, you are a renowned gardener. You do a lot of gardening around the county, and you also do the BBC Radio 4?
I certainly do, yeah, and it is it's an enjoyable job. I could think of worse things to do, perhaps down a mine or something, I don't know, you know, but no, it's rather great, and knowing the types of plants that are available to us today, the hybridising by the seed companies and by the all these different companies that are producing much stronger plants much for our climates. Climate change is the big mot d'ordre at the moment, and we really do have to understand this more fully, because otherwise you're just wasting good money and throwing that money at plants that aren't going to survive. Now, we're standing in an area, I believe, Vanessa, that you want to change into a rose border.
Is that right?
I do, that's right, into a rose border, but not just a rose border. I've got a thing going on at the moment. If anyone who's been reading my blog or who's listening to this now knows that I'm particularly horrified by the importation of cut flowers. There are lots of things that we can do. One of those in particular is we can grow flowers that can be cut for the house in our gardens. It's something we don't really always think about, but I'd like this border to be filled with flowers. I particularly want roses in here, in a herbaceous border. I particularly want really fragrant roses that I can cut and grow for the garden. I know you've got some information there about fragrant roses.
I mean, fragrance is coming back. I mean, the old roses were always famed for wonderful scents and perfumes, but of course came with the additional problems of black spot, rust, and so on and so forth, which drove everybody to drink. And there was a period of time for about 25, 30 years where they started to fade away because the breeders were breeding out the diseases, and at the same time they're breeding out the scent. Nowadays, of course, it's gone full cycle, and now they've really worked hard and bringing back that scent and that individuality to the rose, to a healthy rose, roses that can withstand sort of drought, roses that can withstand heat and cold as well, you know, so all these things. The rose petals themselves, as you may well know, there are certain roses that really don't like the rain at all, and they'll shut up. Well, the breeders have worked hard on this too, and more roses are coming out that do so well. And of course, David Austin Roses is renowned in this country, you know, great English grower, and he's produced some of the finest ones. In fact, I believe that this year alone, the new nominations for sort of like the top roses available. Of course, you've got the Darcy Bustle, which is a great doer. You know, we want roses that are continuously flowering if we can have them. And it does mean that, you know, if you want continuous flowering, there are fewer of them. If you want repeat flowering, there are a few more of them. And then if you want a single flush, then, of course, there are shed loads. But it depends what you want from your garden and at certain times of the year what you want it for. So you've got to be very clear as to why and what you want in your rose beds. And the great rose, obviously, this year is William and Catherine, after Prince William and Her Royal Highness Princess Catherine, I suppose it is, isn't it? That's a great white rose, and I think that that's going to do so well. So to commemorate the year, it would be worth thinking about perhaps popping that in somewhere. But some of the great other doers, you know, as I mentioned, Darcy Bustle, a wonderful rose. Lady Salisbury, wonderful rose too. Lots and lots of them coming out. And of course, colour-wise, you know, decide whether you want the pinks, whether you want whites, whether you want a mixture. You can get the deep magentas, the deep red roses, you know, they've all got their place. I mean, some people go for the Harlequin, you know, effect. So you have a whole, it's basically Christopher Lloyd on acid. He's just crazy, you know, the whole of Great Dixter is just one massive riotous colour. So what type of thing suits you, Vanessa? What are you looking for?
I'm particularly looking for a kind of old-fashioned, vintage, scented blooms, effectively hoping that they're going to be continually flowering. And in particular, the gardens here are quite extensive, so I've got quite some big borders to fill. This one, we're standing by this border in particular. I think this is probably 40 feet long, this border.
Yes.
And about 10, 10, 11 feet wide.
What you to watch is, because you've got the conifers and a yew hedge on the back of the border, so at least half of this border is virtually unusable, certainly by roses. You can put other plants in the back. There will be things that will just about cope with that.
So what would I put in the back of the border to effectively be the backdrop for the for these cutting flower
roses
that I'm putting
put
in here?
Anything in there, it wants really digging up loads of well-rotted manure to retain that moisture. Because for the long term, that's what you're going to be wanting to do. Otherwise, there's going to be nothing there. You know, there's no way you're going to outcompete yew and conifers as far as water's concerned, because those fine horizontal roots that go throughout the border are there just waiting to zap it away. So I would not worry too much about that. I would tidy up the hedge behind, the yew hedge, and keep clipping it to give a nice backdrop in itself. You know, it's clean, rich foliage, the yew, and I think that you could do far worse. I would just focus on the borders. Now, Darcy Bustle is a rose, a shrub rose, which is an absolute beauty. And it has, I think it's one of the top 10 roses in the country that, you know, continuously flowers, has the most perfect red blooms on.
They've got a little bit of a blueiness behind them, those blooms, haven't they? The Darcy Bustles, there's almost sort of a purpliness behind them.
There certainly is, you know, and that's lovely, because blue and those rich colours change as the light goes on through the day. They suddenly you certainly get another look, another feel of a rose or of any plant. The blue hues that come out make it look completely different to what it would in the morning.
So in terms of cutting as well, I mean, there's a list here I've spotted in here with the different fragrant ones on. The ones that have the most smell to them. There was a rose that was voted Rose of the Year, the country's most popular rose from David Austin. I'm just trying to remember the name of it. It was named after a lady who was a famous rose grower. It's a pink one.
It's the Gertrude Jekyll. It's the Rose of the Year. Is that the one that you're talking about?
The British public has voted it the most beautiful rose. I mean, that's one that I really fancy putting in.
Yeah, Gertrude Jekyll. Lovely large blooms, lovely large flower, and will cope with a lot of things thrown at it, whether it's water, what have you, you know, and the cold and the heat. Absolutely beautiful. The only thing is that it doesn't flower continuously through the year. So you may get a second flush later on in the year after it's flushed once. But in comparison to, say, the Darcy Bustle, you walk away from the continuous flowering into perhaps, say, a repeat flowerer.
That's fantastic. I've got here, just in this corner, I think this is a Generous Gardener. I'm not sure. Johnny's just bending down and having a good look at that.
Generous Gardener, yes, it is.
And that will take a north-facing wall on an open area. It's one of the few David Austin roses that I know for definite. I'm sure there's lots of
them. Kathleen Harrop, but they
will take
a north-facing wall.
And that's something that's quite important for gardeners, because you don't always know what to put that's pretty. North isn't always pretty, is it?
And north needs to be addressed. It doesn't mean that nothing will grow in a north-facing side. In fact, quite the reverse. You can actually turn a north-facing wall into a wow factor. It just means that you have to think about shade. You have to think about the cooler area that it's growing in. But there are so many plants that will grow very, very well in a north-facing wall. And as you said, quite rightly, there are roses two that will grow on a north-facing wall. And in fact, there's some very highly scented ones. Étoile de la Hollande is an amazing scented red rose, rich, really big crimson rose, which is just wow factor. Maygold is also another variety, but that's yellow, and sometimes yellows don't always fit in with, you know, the design that you're looking for. But
it's a very special colour, yellow. Just going to walk in here. Now, we're walking out of the front garden into the vegetable garden here. And it's a traditional Victorian kitchen garden. It's being renovated. I have to say, I was talking to somebody locally here. I'm just walking up the pathway. A lady who used to work here, who told me that this garden used to be absolutely beautiful. I mean, it hasn't been gardened for 40 years. It was grass. We've turned it into a vegetable. We're turning it into a vegetable garden with herbs and what have you. And I've put some roses in here just specifically to cut for the house, Johnny.
Right. Cutting flowers, very, very important factor in any garden, I think. You know, throughout the summer, what is lovelier to have a nice bowl of blooms fresh out of the garden, you know, and things that perhaps come to mind more than any other flower in the garden are, of course, sweet peas. Sweet peas are absolutely divine. They grow so easily.
I planted some Thompson and Morgan sweet peas just over here.
And you put them in from seed?
No, Thompson and Morgan send them. There's two lots here. There's some here. These are a small variety.
Right,
they only grow about 8 or 10 inches. Mm-hmm. They're sort of a miniature sweet pea.
Yeah,
and I put these in an urn. It's a Victorian urn.
With an agapanthus.
I thought that would be quite pretty.
It'd be very nice, very pretty, very, very unique, actually. And in the middle of your vegetable. Oh, it's a potager, really, isn't it?
It's a vegetable garden with flowers.
It's a very nice vegetable garden, beautifully cut out, four quadrants, and, of course, nice grass pathways, generous pathways going right the way through the centre. And you can never have, you know, too big a pathway to make it more accessible and usable.
And then what I've done here, I've got quite a dodgy old fence that my husband said that he is going to pull out. But with all the other work that's been done on the house this year, I don't think it's going to be pulled out. So again, these are from Thompson and Morgan. It's what they're ballerina?
Ballerina, yes. And once again, they will do okay. I mean, they'll get romping away. They are hungry plants. You have to watch sweet peas. They like lots of manure. So if you can give them a feed every now and particularly with a tomato feed, especially when they're coming into the flowering period, because the potassium and the potash really, really do get them going and give you some nice long stems in order to cut them and bring them in the house.
When you say the potash, I have an open fire here. So if I put my wood, my ash around here, they'll enjoy that, will they?
If it's wood ash, absolutely, yes. And putting it on now, sort of the end of April, is a great time to put it on because many people sort of burn everything in the winter and they store it, and they put it on the ground that they're going to plant in probably early part of the year, and it's all been leached away by the rains.
Right, because I was going to say, I mean, I've been throwing my potash on this garden, and also where you can see the last of the manure rotting in here. Also, again, Thompson Morgan. I have to say, I'm a huge, huge fan of Thompson Morgan because, if I'm truthful, Johnny, I've been using them for years and years and years. I'm afraid I'm a bit of I like my favourite suppliers, because whatever they send me always seems to grow.
That's right for you, then that's good. It's better to go with a tried and trusted formula. And if you're happy with those plants, that is good. Now you've
got peonies in.
They
did a trio of peonies that I put in. Unfortunately, I bagged them up and put the labels on the bags over the little things. But unfortunately, the wind's blowing them away, so I can't tell you what varieties they are.
Well, you go onto the Thompson and Morgan website, and you'll be able to put in peonies, and then you'll get a whole selection of them. But these are the nice tall cutting ones, and I presume they're the pale pink with the yellow anthers.
Yes, they are. And then I've got one just over there, if you can see, slightly taller. That was from my Auntie Mary, who she died last year, and I left it in my old house. And I regretted terribly not leaving it there. So I popped over, and the lady who bought my house very kindly allowed me to split it.
Very fleshy roots, and it will establish well, and you'll get some lovely flower heads. So may take a couple of years to really get cracking, but it will establish itself and get back. Now, some of the other cutting flowers, I mean, we were talking about cutting flowers, the zinnia, the double giants. Of course, there are the scabiosa, ultra papaya, and that's the tall double mixed varieties, which are huge, but nice long stems, really great for decorating. And the cosmos family produce lovely, lovely carpets of cosmos flowers in a mist of foliage. It always looks great, and they pick well.
What will I get away with here? I mean, in the end, this is quite dry. It's slightly shady. I'm worried about this bit, Johnny. I don't know what to do with it because...
Slightly shady
is slightly.
Not the word I would use. In complete blackout, I would say that it is more akin to...
But it is very light. It is very light, isn't it?
And I believe that you can... The soil is great. the soil is fine, and you know, it in the shadow area, which of course sits beneath a 20-foot yew hedge, that's going to have to be dealt with. But it's that area coming out 6 feet into the garden, but to the edge of the wall, that needs really enriching. You know, so that'll turn into something quite usable. Once
what do I
the
plant in here?
Cut.
This is what I'm questioning. I'm in a vegetable garden. Do you have any ideas?
What I can't impress enough is that, you know, you are intent on having a proper vegetable garden. Any proper vegetable garden is going to do crop rotation. That means that you are going to have to each year move the groups of plants from the brassicas, the legumes, the others, you know, all of the groups of the, each year you move them round one, and each requirements for each group are different. And the one thing that you have to get right, if you do continuously grow on the same spot, you will increase the chances of pests and diseases and weaken that produce year on year if it's being grown in the same spot. So I can't emphasize enough. So when, you know, at the moment, this is too dark to grow vegetables in.
Is there some cutting flowers that I could possibly grow in here?
This is
very difficult.
It's a difficult spot, and I think the height of the trees, if you can bring the sunlight down. Now, mid-afternoon, about 2:30, 3 o'clock, you will get sunlight swarming down here. So you will get good sunlight in. So, you know, you will be able to put plants in here, but I would, for the time being, use this side of the border, plant up here, and then as the summer, few months goes by, the latter planting, the end of May plantings for the less hardy plants, and that's quite good because it's a more sheltered area, means that you'll be able to plant down that side.
So shall I start this with potatoes this year on this side? Will that give me a good start?
You know, I would say nothing's been grown in here. I can see the turf has been turned over upside down. Potatoes are great for cleaning up the soil. It lightens up the soil, it cleans the soil. And planting this whole area with potatoes this first year, A, you're going to have wow factor potatoes because it's the first year, and it will also do a lot of the hard work for you by lifting and purifying the soil. So that's the thing to do there, Vanessa.
Johnny, you've been fantastic as usual, and I can't thank you enough for coming over. Hopefully the next time we seem to be about rotating about every 4 or 5 months, there will be even more changes.
Can't wait to see it. Be fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.